Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Welcome to Vampire Hype episode 47, where we will be discussing episode 14 and 15 of The Originals, Long Way Back from Hell, and Le Grand something French.
Grand Guignol.
Guignol.
Something like
I
that.
I can't say that. You just heard Kristen, and she and I will be doing this episode together. Hi.
Hi. Hi, guys.
So we just got out episode 46 to you, and this episode's going to come out later that same day, so we had to have like a hypeable meeting in between these episodes, so sorry about like the randomness, but we're gonna be catching up and it's gonna be awesome. Before we start, just if you don't know how to contact us already, it's twitter.com/vampirehype. You can also email us at vampirehypepodcast@gmail.com, or if you don't do any of those newfangled thingies, you can comment on post Vampire Hype or Vampire Diaries post or Originals, and we will see it because we always check the comments because we're addicted to the comments, even though that might be a bad thing.
It is. It's a double-edged sword.
It really is.
Sometimes they're really awesome and sometimes they're kind of scary.
it's not fair. I think they should just always be awesome.
I think so too.
But let's start with the episode 14, Long Way Back from Hell, and we're going to start off with our favorite quotes. Kristen, what's your fave quote from the episode?
Well, it's just basically every time Haley referred to what's-her-face, Celeste, as witch bitch. She said it like 4 or 5 times. She's like, hey there, witch bitch. It's like, oh, awesome. Just, I really, really like Haley, and I didn't think I was going to. I didn't like her on Vampire Diaries at all, so it's awesome when she is super awesome.
Yeah, her character's really evolved, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. That's what happens when you take, like, a side character from one show and then make her a main character in the other.
Yeah, they get a lot more time to develop, so that's always awesome.
Well, my favorite quote was from Rebecca, and it's her talking to Marcel, going, I don't want to be afraid of what my brother will do to me for loving you. And I'm like, aw, girl, like, you need a new brother or something. Like,
yeah.
Seriously. Yeah.
This controlling Klaus thing gets really annoying really fast.
It's stupid. But let's start off with the episode. We're going to just talk about, like, the major points. If there's anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted us to talk about, then let us know, and then we can probably give our opinion on that specific subject next time. So it starts off, and Rebecca thinks that she is free, except she gets caught again, because she's like, oh, I'm in an asylum, I better run away, and then nope, she's stuck there.
I just loved how it, like, it almost made you think, we've seen all these previews where she's stuck in the sanatorium. So it was like, we assumed that's where she was going to be. But she kind of breaks out, and you think, oh, she's, okay, she's already out. And then, what's her face, Genevieve just kind of, like, drags her back. Like, whacks her over the head right when she thinks she's free, and she's back inside. And it's like, oh, well, whoops, sucks.
It's so cruel. It's just so mean. And, like, I don't know what it is lately, but Teen Wolf and Vampire Diaries and, like, maybe not vampires, but the originals, they're all, like, going to asylums now. And, like, what is this? An American Horror Story start some asylum craze?
Yeah, I know, right?
But it was really creepy. And next up, we see Sophie, and she's being interred into the Sophie's being buried into the Devereaux family crypt when Elijah erupts. And Monique performs a spell that burns names onto his skin like tattoos. Totally Vampire Diaries, like, hunter status.
Like, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Like, follow the path that she left behind, and now he has to figure out this thing. I'm surprised how quick he got that. Like, he just walked into the room, and he's like, I think these are names of, like, people that Sabine's taken over. Like, what made you think that?
Well, Monique said, you know, follow the path she left behind. So he knows she's talking about Celeste. So then the first thing he thinks of is, well, she's inhabiting a body. These have got to be people she's been inhabiting, you know, for over the years. So I got that part, but there's some leaps that he makes later that I was like, whoa. Like, really? Really?
Yeah. Like, I want to know how he knew that it was going to be all over his body, and he decided to take off his shirt, and it's just like, Haley, look at me. I'm like, goodness.
Oh, and, yeah. It was about time that Elijah, like, lost some clothing, because let's face it, I mean, Klaus had some moments in this episode, and so did Elijah. They've got some, I loved Klaus's tattoo, too. The one with the birds.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it was kind of nice to have the boys have a little shirtless action for once.
I know, I think more men on the show need to be shirtless, but that's just me.
I mean, we get it a lot on Vampire Diaries. I mean, Damon and Stefan are constantly just walking around.
I think Damon just needs to walk around naked.
Right? I know. Like, he doesn't care anyway, so he might as well. But yeah, we don't get it so much in the original. So it was kind of a welcome change.
Kind of get a little bit of it. So Elijah is off to figure that out. And meanwhile, Genevieve is with Klaus. And Klaus is also in the same asylum that Rebecca is in. And Genevieve has been telling him, oh, like, your sister has been keeping this secret from you. And so she basically gives him a potion type thing to link his mind to Rebecca's. And kind of, I guess forcing Rebecca to remember her time at the asylum, I guess? Is that what she did? Because, like, or does...
Yeah, like, basically, she linked Klaus... So that the venom that's making Rebecca relive these memories, like, we've seen the whole werewolf venom thing a million times, as we just finished talking about in the Vampire Diaries podcast not too long ago. I mean, this venom is a very useful tool, because you have to, you know, you're forced to kind of look back on things. Your mind kind of takes you back. So I just think it is so incredibly evil of Genevieve to basically force Rebecca to betray herself. Like, she can't stop herself from seeing these things. She cannot, literally cannot stop these visions from happening. And she knows what's going to happen next. And she knows now that Klaus is going to be seeing them. So it just seems so absolutely horrible that there's nothing she can do to stop it.
She's just, like, thinking, and she can't help it. And it's terrible. I do love the music, though.
Yeah, and the song that she turns on the gramophone, and Rebecca just starts flipping out because she knows exactly what memory's coming, and she's just like, no! Like, she just starts screaming. Oh, I was like, man. Oh my god, Rebecca, I'm so sorry. Like, I love you. Like, I know you did bad things, but you know, it really wasn't that bad, and Klaus was a jerk, so I understand. Like, I just felt so bad for her in this episode, because it just seemed like, yeah, Rebecca did some bad things, and did some bad things to Genevieve, but I don't know if it was really earned all of this hatred.
No. I mean, yeah. I think maybe that's just, like, the Rebecca fans in us talking. Maybe she did, but I don't know. Like, at the same time, I don't think she did. It's very hard. It's hard to have an unbiased opinion on Rebecca.
Yeah. I mean, she's been through so much, and it's not really her fault. Like, the fact that Klaus has sacrificed almost every one of her boyfriends over the years. Like, she doesn't ask for that, and he usually does it because he doesn't think they're right for her. Well, who's he to say? Like, she's had a very hard lot in life, so it just... makes you feel even worse for her when things like this go on.
I know. I know. Like, Rebecca's still in a pickle, even after, like, the next episode, after Le Grand
Guignol.
I can't say it for the
something like that. I don't even think I'm right.
Like, even after that episode, Rebecca's still in a tizzy, and I'm like, dang it, Rebecca.
Yeah.
I just want her to have a happy life. That's all I want.
She just needs some happiness.
I feel like...
Some.
Yeah. Just a little bit. You know, at least, like, someone that she can love without, you know, death coming.
In the form of her brother.
Yeah. So, after that, we kind of switch back to Haley. And Haley and Elijah are still together, and she wants him to find out if Celeste was inhabiting the body of Brynn Devereaux at the time she cursed her werewolf brethren back in the 90s, because if it was Celeste who did the spell and not Brynn, because Celeste is still alive, Celeste is the only one who can break the spell, or break the curse, Which is pretty ingenious, actually, of Haley to think about that.
Right, yeah. Like, just really, really smart of her to even put that together. And hopefully it works out for her. Because, you know, Celeste isn't exactly the most stand-up of people. Yeah. So.
I have a lot of opinions about what happens in the next episode. But we'll talk about that shortly.
We're getting there.
Yeah. So, in this episode, though, Elijah finds out that every person that Celeste inhabited committed suicide, or was forced to commit suicide by Celeste's spirit, except for one person, who is Clara Summerland, who died of influenza, who is Janine's friend.
Yes.
And we find out that Rebecca cleverly gave them both the flu, because there's a flu epidemic in the 1950s?
It wasn't the 20s, because the 20s they were in Chicago, and that was after. So it was before 1920. So yeah, it was probably sometime around 1915.
Yeah, so
to 1919.
She gave them the flu, which is like absolutely really creative of her, because she didn't have to like stab her or anything. She was just like, here, you're going to die of the flu. Haha. And so that's how Elijah basically finds out that they're at the...
Well, and it was particularly horrible of her to have them quarantined and, like, compel everyone to not talk to them until they died. Like, you know, like, she didn't exactly treat them well, but at the same time, like, it's kind of hard not to see it from her perspective, too, because Genevieve, like, wasn't exactly being helpful. I'm sure there's probably a way to undo the Michael spell. I mean, it may have been too late, but she didn't even want to try. And like, it was definitely not one of Rebecca's finer moments.
No.
But
I mean, the second that she was like, oh, we have to tell Klaus and just hope he forgives us, I'm like, oh no, that's not going to work out for you, girl.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, there's no way. And Rebecca knew that. She knew if they told him that they were screwed. Like, there's just no way. Klaus is not a forgiving man at all.
Yeah, but I don't think he's actually going to kill Rebecca. I don't think Rebecca can't die, can she? Like, on the originals? No. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I can imagine, since we know that they've been picked up for season 2, I can imagine that at some point in the show's life, one of the original siblings may die. You know, just because it adds a lot of drama, so I wouldn't be completely surprised if the end of season 2, maybe we'd lose one of them, or maybe season 3 if we get there. But I just feel like it's way too early for him to actually kill her. Something's going to happen, or she's going to make a point that he, you know, that makes him think, or something.
Like, yeah, I have so many discussion points for the next episode. Dang it. But I'll stop.
We're getting there.
Yeah, I know. but Klaus, like, eventually discovers that Rebecca does... Rebecca and Marcel summoned Michael to the quarter and began hunting him again. So he finds out that the reason that New Orleans burned, the reason they ran away, the reason they lost the city, and the reason they thought Marcel died was because of Rebecca and Marcel. Which is pretty insane. And, I mean, I'd be upset with Rebecca, too, but I don't know if I'd want to, you know, kill her. I think Klaus goes to the extreme whenever he's upset. He's like, oh, you have to die. Like,
right. It's like, there are other, you know, alternatives.
It's like death to him is, like, the same as, like, going to jail for, like, 50 years. it's not the same. Like,
just death.
He just thinks it's the same. It's not. But that kind of left a cliffhanger when Elijah saves Rebecca and Marcel at the asylum. But I have to say, was it in this episode that they killed Genevieve? No, they killed who? They killed one of the witches, but I forget which episode it was. Marcel killed someone. Marcel killed Bastiana.
I think that's
the
next
episode. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there. no, I have to say, the last, like, 5-10 minutes of this episode was so great. Like, the, you know, her being hunted by Klaus in the sanatorium, like him just walking and screaming her name and she's running and you know, it sounds cliche or whatever, but it was actually just really, really intriguing because she gets to the basement, she knows she's stuck, and then out of nowhere, Elijah comes barreling down the stairs, you know, after Marcel had kind of shown up, and he, you know, stabs Klaus in the stomach with the same, you know, knife, the Papa Tunde knife, and it's like, it was just so incredibly intense. I really, really liked the end of this episode because it made me think, like, how is Klaus going to see this? Like, does he see this as Elijah, you know, stabbing him in the back because he's saving Rebecca? Or because he stayed with Klaus and sent Rebecca off, like, he didn't really run from his brother. Like, he's standing there and going to confront him, you know? So it's like, I was really intrigued to see how Klaus dealt with it.
Yeah. I have to say, I wasn't, like, I told you this, but when the episode aired, I was like, I wasn't a biggest fan of the episode, but you do make a good point when you notice, like, how Klaus is gonna react to Elijah doing that, like, I guess, yeah. I think, I just didn't, the episode in, overall for me, it was very kind of, like, just predictable, because you knew that Klaus was going to find out what Rebecca did. You knew that Rebecca was, like, going to be able to get out of that asylum. And I feel like just, while it's fun storytelling, I love, like, storytelling episodes, it just sucks that we already know the story. We just don't know the details. So, like,
yeah.
That kind of bored me a little bit.
I can see that. I mean, we already know about Michael. We know what happens with Michael.
Exactly.
And we know what ultimately happened to Michael, so it's hard to see it as a huge threat because we know that he didn't catch them. But yeah, at the same time, it's like you have to remember that, like, this is the one thing Klaus... Again, I feel like he's kind of being overdramatic about the whole thing because mm-hmm. nothing happened.
I know.
Like if they would have lost someone because of Michael, like, if Michael would have killed Klaus's one true love or something,
yeah.
then I could totally see it. I could totally see him being bad.
I mean, they did lose the city. They lost the one place that they could call home after, like, hundreds of years.
Right, but I mean, like, it's nothing they couldn't eventually get back. Like, yeah. I mean, they're immortal. Yeah. So it's like, give them 80 years and they'll figure out a way to settle again and to, you know, get Michael off their tail. And, you know, we're probably about 80, 90 years in the future and they're settled again.
Yeah, that's true.
So it just, it seems so overdramatic for him to be so mad, but it's very in character. It's, you know, it's not like it went out of character to make him this angry. It just seems so overdramatic.
I mean, Klaus is over, he's the one who keeps tearing up on, like, every episode, and he just, like, I'm like, dude, come on, stop. Stop crying.
Yeah, really.
So that's it for that episode, Long Way Back from Hell. Next episode, we're going to talk about, finally, Le Grand Guignol.
Which,
I can't, I'm sorry.
Kyle may not be able to pronounce it, but he's got lots of feelings.
Yeah. Exactly. So, what is your favorite quote from this episode? I'm just going to call it episode 15.
15. Yeah. Mine comes from Cammy, and I just love her. I love her so much. She's like, she was talking to Klaus as she was sitting, helping him kind of revive from the Papa Tunde knife after Elijah removed it from his chest again. And she says, "Wow, things I never thought I'd be doing. Feeding a vampire. My 16-year-old self would think I'm really cool right now." I love how snarky and, like, realistic she is, because it's so true. Like, 16-year-old girl would think that being, like, a vampire's blood bag would be really cool,
right?
Like, it's like, kind of like Bella syndrome.
It's,
you know,
freaking Vampire Academy status, because, like, people, like, humans sign up to, like, be blood bags for vampires, and because it, like, feels really good apparently in the Vampire Academy series. And so, yeah, I totally, that would be, 16-year-old me would be like, hell yeah.
Right, like, you would kind of think, yeah, 16-year-old me would be like, yeah, this is really cool. So I just thought it was fun.
My favorite quote comes from Haley, and it's when she has trapped Sabine, and Sabine and Haley are at her cabin in the woods, and she has a shotgun, And she's like, careful, Sabine, or Celeste, or whatever you'd like to call yourself. Sudden moves make me jumpy and homicidal. And I'm like, yes.
I tell you, the girls in this show are awesome.
I know, I love them, because they're just, like, well-developed, they're kick-ass, they're independent, and it's just amazing.
But they're not overly violent, either. Exactly. Like, I mean, she has a shotgun, and she'll use it if forced to, but it's just so much fun. I love them.
So, the episode starts with Cammy and Klaus. Elijah called Cammy to the house because she thinks that Klaus is the only person that Cammy is the only person Klaus will listen to, which makes sense. And it also makes sense that Cammy's blood is also laced with vervain, so Klaus can feed on her, but also, like, stay weekend so, like, he doesn't go out and try to kill Rebecca, which ultimately...
So she can convince him not to kill Rebecca.
Which ultimately fails, but, I mean, it was a good try, you know?
Yeah, Elijah tried to keep Klaus under control. It's just not gonna happen.
I have to say that when Cammy told Klaus that he's like their father, I loved it, because she made such a good point about how he's, like, terrorizing his sister, and making her, like, run away and in fear, and, like, it's exactly what Michael did to them for hundreds of years. But then Klaus goes and makes, like, this fantastic argument that, like, is like, no, like, he did this for, like, thousands of years. I'm going to end it swiftly. And I'm like, I kind of agree with Klaus, but I mostly agree with Cammy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can see his point a little bit. Like, at least he's being what he thinks is merciful. But it's not merciful when it didn't end badly. Like, it ended with Michael dying and you're free now, and there's no reason to be so overdramatic. Like, just say, you know what? It might have been the one thing that you could have done that hurt me more than anything, but we're here now, and, you know, let's move on. Honest to God, if it were Elijah and not Klaus in this position, I feel like we would have a different discussion about it. Like, Elijah would be a little more fair-minded about it. He would think and say, you know, it didn't end up hurting anyone but Michael. You know, we ran for a while, but we survived.
Well, Elijah, here we are. He's the gentleman of the originals. Like, so he would totally think about it first.
But Klaus is just such a hothead that he can't think about like that for any period of time.
I'm wondering if Rebecca can, like, I think Rebecca needs to point out Caroline, I think, because if they hadn't moved from New Orleans, then he wouldn't have met Caroline.
Burn.
Right? And so I feel like, come on, like, this brought you more stuff. Like, yeah, we had to run from the city, but, like, your life has changed in so many good ways because we moved away from the city.
It's true. I mean, think of all the good times he had in Chicago with Stefan, and all of the time with Caroline, and he figured out the hybrid situation, and he now knows, you know, he's now a hybrid. Before, he was just a vampire.
Exactly.
So, there's a lot of good. She really does have an argument. She's just be like, listen.
Yeah. He just needs to not try to stab her with that white oat steak that came from freaking nowhere, by the way.
I know. He pulls it out of the statue. Like, he whacks the head off and just pulls it out. And I was like, what the hell? That's where it's been hiding. We wondered who had it.
The fact
we
that
knew it didn't just disappear.
Oh my goodness. You know, and I'm like really wondering what people who just watched the originals and not the Vampire Diaries think of this whole thing, because he knocks a statue out and he's like, oh yeah, this is the only thing that can kill her. I'm like, they're probably so confused.
Yeah.
Aww. Oh man, it's great. But, so we go back to Haley, who had kidnapped Celeste Sabine. I'm going to call her Sabine, because I like that name more. Actually, I like Celeste more. I'm going to call her Celeste. She wants Celeste to remove the curse. So, Celeste basically somehow, like, she decides to, like, agree to it, because, it's something that she thinks will ruin Elijah, and it would be, like, a punishment for him. So it has to be drunk at the next full moon, and then on the next full moon, when her werewolf brethren turn back into humans, it'll be a permanent change, and they won't be backwards werewolves anymore.
Right, they'll stay human and then start changing to wolves on the full moon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm wondering, A, is it real? And B, I kind of lost confusion as to why... Wait, no, I remember why Sabine hated Elijah. I'm like, she hates him a lot, but, like, it wasn't Elijah that did this to her, you know? Like, I feel like her hatred for Elijah and her punishment for making Haley go away is not fair.
Well, and I think she is a little premature on judging Haley the way she did. While, yes, I believe that Haley is going to want to spend some time with her family, if her family's in New Orleans and they're not cursed anymore and that's where they're from, like, it's not like they stuck around there because they like it. Like, they wouldn't have stuck around if it wasn't their home. So I don't foresee them running from New Orleans. And so it's not as if she's going to be millions of miles away from Klaus, like, or from Elijah. Like, she's going to be there. Yeah, she'll be spending time with her family and getting to know them, but I can't imagine she's just going to leave Elijah behind.
Yeah, I
like,
don't...
she has an attachment to him.
And she'll have, like, the best of both worlds, you know?
Right. Like, I see what Celeste was talking about. Like, I got... As she was making her little speech about it being a punishment either way, I totally saw her point, but it just seemed like she was judging Haley prematurely, and she just assumed that once Haley got what she wanted, she was going to disappear, and I don't think that's true at all.
Do you think Sabine knows about her her betrothed, her, like, assigned marriage to that werewolf? Maybe that's why she thinks that it's going to be a punishment, because she knows that Haley might have to marry him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine she knows, because I'm sure that was probably big news back when they weren't cursed. You know, like, I'm sure supernatural news gets around.
Yeah. I mean, they were, like, werewolf royalty, apparently.
Right, so I'm sure, like, the vampire and witch populations would know about big happenings in the wolf community. But yeah, no, I really think Celeste is she's undervaluing Haley's loyalty to people as well. Like, she has a loyalty to her family that she doesn't even know, but I think she's really loyal to Elijah, too. I don't think it's going anywhere.
You see, in 1919, when Klaus, Michael found Klaus and everyone, and they kind of were partying in the bar, and Klaus, like, announced Marcel and Rebecca's love for them, I feel like that, like, this is might be a little off topic, I don't know, but I feel like when the entire community, the supernatural community in 1919 was all together, and, like, there were werewolves and witches and vampires, and they're all partying together, and all, like, enjoying the prohibition because they're at a speakeasy, and I feel like that ending could be an appropriate ending for the series.
Yeah.
As a whole. Like, because I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, I guess they could make that into, like, a second or third season arc and then finish the series somehow, some other way. But I know that's a really random discussion, but I feel like at the end, I would love to see New Orleans all together again.
Yeah, I mean, I think, depending on how long this show is around, which it could be around for 5, 6, 7 seasons. I mean, we know CW shows can last forever if they've got the story behind them. I think if they do what they've been doing this season, and it's been really, really great, I think you could do a storyline about how they want the city united and have it fail miserably for a season or two. Like, everything they do just backfires and they have failure after upon failure upon failure, and then finally it starts to work. And so, you know, I think you can ultimately use that as the giant plot structure. Like, you've got these three original siblings who just want to get back to what they had before Rebecca screwed it all up. And I really think that's possible. I think that could be a really great series ending. I agree with you.
I don't know why I went on that, like, mini tangent on series ending, but it was great. Back to the episode. In the flashback, Klaus, when they're doing the toast in 1919, he says it's the first time he didn't kill a suitor of hers. And I'm like, Are you kidding me? Like 500 years or like 1,000 years or whatever, and you've killed every single romantic interest that Rebecca has? That poor girl was probably so messed up in the head.
Well, and like you could just see the nerves written all over Rebecca when he stands up to make the toast, and she's just like, you can see it. Like it's palpable in the room. You can feel it. And it's just, oh, I felt so bad for her. And then, you know, he makes the toast and toasts to them and tells them he wants them to be happy. And then I'm like, oh, poor thing. Like, you just, you know, got his blessing, but a week before you called his nemesis, and now you're screwed.
It's crazy. Like Klaus is such a bad brother. He's just so terrible.
Yeah, pretty much. Just in general.
As a person, just, you know, Klaus, not great. But back... Like, let's just talk about the flashback, like, just as a whole. I think it was really interesting to see how Klaus and Michael kind of met in their box at the theater. And Michael just kind of, like, killed everyone in the theater. And the fact that he compelled everyone to think that what they were seeing on stage was a comedy. And they were laughing at the fact that, like, there were four dead bodies on stage.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That was so morbid.
Talk about dark and creepy.
Right?
Like, they're sitting in their box in the opera house, and there's these dead people on stage, and vampires being tortured, aka Marcel.
And it's just laughing?
Like, oh, it just... it was so creepy and weird. I just was sitting there, like, cringing, like, oh my god.
And I guess I have to say, this episode was better storytelling-wise, because now, like, we didn't know the whole story for this story. And we knew the whole story about how Rebecca and Marcel called Michael, but we didn't know what Michael did. And so, this episode I liked a lot more, because we saw how they thought Marcel was dead when they left New Orleans. Because that was mentioned in the first few episodes. Like, we thought you were dead, that's why we ran. And so, like, it was great seeing... Their New Orleans reign come to an end in the 1900s.
Yeah, it was nice to get this part of the story, because now we know why they left, why they felt they had to leave, and why they thought Marcel was dead. Like, we've got all of that information now. It makes the whole story make a lot more sense. So I was really, really glad to get this part of it too. It makes everything just click.
Yeah, I love it when they do that. It's amazing. So, back in the real world, or like, I guess modern time, I should say, Marcel and Rebecca were going to run, but then they decide, you know what, no, like, we're not gonna run. We're gonna go back, we're gonna bring Davina back, and she is going to do a cloaking spell for us so we don't have to keep running. Which was, like, smart and stupid.
Which just made me think of the Fidelius charm from Harry Potter. Like, I could not stop thinking about, like, secret keepers. And yeah, it was just like, you know, that's basically what's going on here.
Yeah, oh my god.
They
goodness.
Just need Davina to do a Fidelius charm.
That's so... I love that. That's great. And Klaus, realizing that they know, like, they want to bring Davina back, knows what they're going to do. Because Klaus is smart. So, even after Cammy tells him, like, he's being, like, his father, he's like, no, I'm not. And he manages to get out of Cammy's grasp and go after them. And he traps... He has the witches trap any original vampire in the cemetery. And Marcel and Rebecca went to the cemetery to get Devine's body... And in that process, killed... Which one? He killed Bastiana, like, by ripping off her head.
Yeah.
And well, that was amazing and kick-ass. And now they just have to kill Genevieve, which I'm sure won't be hard to do. I'm sure in the next episode, Genevieve's gonna be dead. Because now the only person alive is Genevieve at the end of the episode, right?
Well, yeah, because Celeste is no longer around. And was it Bastiana that died?
I'm pretty sure. But
okay, it wasn't the...
Genevieve is the younger one who trapped Rebecca in the asylum. And right, Bastiana is the older one, and the older one is the one that's dead. And
okay.
Yeah.
I was having trouble
it's
keeping
so
it straight.
Confusing.
yeah. No, yeah. Genevieve is, she's good, and she's good at what she's doing, but I don't think she's that good.
No. Especially with Davina back.
Yeah, she seems to be on Klaus's good side because, you know, she revealed all of this to him, but I don't think that she's going to be around forever. Maybe another episode or two, and then I figure she'll probably be sacrificed for some reason or another.
Yeah, at some point.
I'm just glad Davina's back.
I have to say that I really love the fact that Elijah went to Monique, and he was like, early on, he was just like, okay, you know what? You can try to trust Sabine, fine, you know, but here's a spell from my mother's grimoire, and if you do this spell and she tries to kill herself and leave you alone, then this spell is going to leave her in a very different location. She's not going to be able to take over another body. And it's kind of like a good insurance policy for Monique because, she has it and she'll stick with Sabine. But if Sabine decides to be a traitor, then she knows what's going to happen, which is exactly what happens. And Sabine kills herself in front of, in front of Elijah? Because she, I guess she was done with that body? I don't understand necessarily.
Well, I think she knew that Elijah recognized her as this form. And so now that she had him trapped in the cemetery with his siblings, she was done with that body. She doesn't want him to know who she is. So if she kills it and moves on to a new form, then he won't know who she is.
Yes, you know yes. Got it. Now
and
I
so then okay. She can continue to live out her days until the next time she needs to be crazy mm-hmm. and do
exactly.
crazy things.
Which I have to say, it was amazing that Monique performed the spell and she had the bones, Sabine's original bones, which somehow the spell managed to bring Sabine back into her original body. But the one thing that kind of bugs me about that is that she had an accent, and accents are not with your body. They're, where you learn the language from, you know?
Yeah, but I think in this instance, it was supposed to just kind of represent that she's her old self. Self.
Yeah.
And the way they chose to do it was with the accent, which didn't bother me that much.
But, so Elijah realizes that... he realizes that's what happened. He goes to find her body. She's like, ha, you tried to get away and now you won't. And he stabs her with the sacrificial knife, right?
The Papa Tunde knife,
Papa
as I've
Tunde
been calling
knife.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think yep. so. Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, Davina's back. Davina is back, which is amazing. And
I am so
I'm hoping
so
that now Davina's back. Josh is back, too, because I love Josh.
Oh, he has to be.
Right? Come on.
He has to show up again.
Because they're
so
buddies.
Adorable. And I love them as buddies, especially now that... Isn't Tim dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, wait, yeah. I think Tim is
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, I think he passed.
Tim is adorable,
yeah, because of the poison.
Dang it.
Yeah, now that Tim's gone, I really, really, really want Josh around just because she needs a buddy. She needs a friend.
Seriously.
And it's... Yeah. And Tim was really important to her, so I feel like Josh can step into, you know, the best friend role and the person she can count on role. And her and Cammy are great, too, but I really like Josh.
Exactly. Yep. Josh is adorable. So, the end of the episode actually ends on a cliffhanger, which I think we all saw coming, maybe. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if I expected it to be on a cliffhanger. But Klaus finds Rebecca and Elijah in the cemetery, and Elijah's protecting Rebecca while Klaus tries to find her, and next week's episode is going to be insane.
I just love the still they gave us from this episode with Elijah and Rebecca, staring face-to-face, almost like Harry and Voldemort in that Harry Potter poster,
yes.
Which I totally have on my wall and I'm staring at right now. They're looking at each other and Klaus is in the background in the middle, and it's so well framed and so well done that that is going to be the way I think about this season and this whole story for pretty much forever. It's basically Elijah and Rebecca trying to figure out a way to make Klaus work. Like, it's trying to figure out a way to make him happy enough that they can have lives and be a family.
I'm so curious as to how they're going to get Klaus to turn around.
Yeah. You know? He's made steps. I mean, right now he is furious with Rebecca, and so he's kind of backtracked a little bit. But, you know, he's made a lot of steps towards Caroline, and he seems so much more human when he's dealing with that, like when he's dealing with Caroline and trying to woo her. He seems very, very real, as opposed to this, you know, I'm the big bad villain guy kind of front that he puts on all the time. And I think he's made a lot of progress this season. Like, he's starting to kind of understand that he can't just be the way he has been.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see if that continues or if he really backslides.
I think it would be fantastic if Cammy kind of shows up to the scene and she's like, Klaus, you know, if you do this, you're going to lose everyone. You're going to lose Haley. You're going to lose Elijah. You're going to lose me. None of us will talk to you, and it won't be worth it. And I think it's going to be amazing, and I think that's how he might change his mind.
Yeah, I still think you had a really great point earlier. If Rebecca just starts listing off all the things that have happened for the better since Michael, like, if she talks about all the good times and all the people they know and all the, you know, quote-unquote friends, I don't know if they're really friends, that they've made, like, if she starts talking about all of that stuff, maybe, just maybe, it'll make him, like, pause and take a second and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if there's anything Elijah can do at this point.
No. I think it's all on Rebecca.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Elijah's worked his magic, but I just don't think there's much he can do to stop him at this point. It's going to have to come from Rebecca.
It's going
to
be amazing. Definitely. Oh, I just talked and it didn't say. I was just going to say, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
I'm really looking forward to this week. I think it's going to be a really great show episode.
All right. Well, that is it for both of these episodes of The Originals. If you guys have feedback, we didn't do feedback this week for either episode because we were kind of short on time. So we will have feedback next week when we do one episode for both TVD and The Originals. So,
and we do check all of it. We do read it all. So even if we don't respond, we are seeing it, I promise.
Yes, exactly. So tweet at us at Vampire Hype, email us at vampirehypepodcast@gmail.com, or just, you know, leave a comment on any of the TVD or Originals articles, and we'll see it. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Show me the tea. Open your mouth, boy. Show me the tea. Show me what you got. Show me the tea. Arr.